This is Chapter 4 of An Outline of Esoteric Science by Rudolf Steiner. This is the second part. I'm beginning with his description of Saturn, paragraph 17, on page 135 of the Classics and Anthroposophy text. If we want to form an approximately accurate idea of conditions during the Saturn phase of evolution, we must consider the fact that during that period, none of the things and creatures currently belonging to the Earth and its mineral, plant, and animal kingdoms were present as such. The beings of these three kingdoms developed only during later evolutionary periods. Of all the earthly beings that are now physically perceptible, human beings were the only ones existing at that time. And of these human beings, the physical body was the only part already present, as described above. However, the beings of the mineral, plant, animal, and human kingdoms are not the only beings that belong to the earth at present. There are also other beings that do not reveal themselves in physical bodies. Such beings were also present during the Saturn phase of evolution, and their activity in this Saturn setting resulted in the later evolution of human beings. In looking at the middle evolutionary period of the Saturn incarnation, although not at its beginning or end, spiritual perception can discern a state consisting primarily of warmth. No gaseous, liquid, or solid elements are to be found. These all appear only in later incarnations. Let's imagine that human beings with present-day sense organs were to approach this Saturn world as observers. With the exception of the sensation of warmth, they would experience none of the sensory impressions humans can have. On entering the space occupied by Saturn, they would perceive only that its condition of warmth is different from the rest of the surrounding space. However, they would discover that this space is not uniformly warm throughout, but has warmer and colder areas that alternate in a great variety of patterns. Warmth would be perceived radiating along certain lines that are not straight, but form irregular shapes produced by variations in heat. Our observers would be confronted by something like a structured cosmic being that appears in constantly changing states and consists only of heat. It is difficult for modern individuals to imagine something that consists only of warmth, since we are accustomed to perceiving warmth only in association with hot or cold, gaseous, liquid, or solid bodies, rather than thinking of it as something in itself. Especially those of us who have absorbed the ideas of modern physics will find it ridiculous to talk about warmth or heat in the way just described, and we might say this: while there are solid, liquid, and gaseous bodies, heat only indicates a condition of one of these three types. When the smallest particles of a gas are in motion, this motion is perceived as heat, so where there is no gas, there can be no such movement, and therefore no heat. Spiritual scientific researchers see this subject in a quite different light. For them, heat is something that they can speak of in the same sense that they speak of a gas, a liquid, or a solid body. It is a substance still more delicate than a gas, and a gas is nothing other than condensed heat in the same sense that a liquid is a condensed vapor or a solid a condensed liquid. So spiritual scientists speak of bodies of heat just as they also speak of bodies of gas or vapor. In order to follow spiritual researchers into this domain, it is only necessary to admit that soul perception is possible. In the world that is presented to our physical senses, heat certainly does exist as a condition of solids, liquids, and gases. However, this is only an external aspect or effect of heat. Physicists speak only about heat's effect, not about its inner nature. Let's try to disregard all the effects of heat we receive through external objects and simply picture the inner experience we have when we say, quote, "I feel warm," unquote, or, quote, "I feel cold," unquote. Only this inner experience can give us an idea of what Saturn was like in the evolutionary period described above. We would have been able to run right through the space it occupied. There would have been no gas to exert any pressure, no solid or liquid bodies to reflect any impressions of light. But at every point within this space, we would have had the inner feeling of a particular degree of warmth, yet without receiving any impression from outside. Conditions in a cosmic body like this are not suitable for the animals, plants, and minerals of the present time. It should therefore hardly be necessary to say that what was described above could never actually take place. It is not possible for a modern human being, as such, to actually confront old Saturn as an observer. The description was only intended as an illustration. The beings that supersensible perception becomes aware of while observing Saturn are at a very different stage of evolution than present-day sense-perceptible earthly beings. The first beings to appear to this supersensible perception do not have physical bodies like those of present-day human beings. When we speak of a physical body in this context, we must be careful to avoid thinking about human physical bodies as they exist today. Rather, we must distinguish carefully between the physical body and the mineral body. A physical body is one that is governed by the physical laws we observe today in the mineral kingdom. However, our present-day physical bodies are not only governed by such physical laws, but are also imbued with mineral substance. There can be no talk of physical mineral bodies like this on Saturn. The physical corporeality that existed on Saturn was governed by physical laws, but these laws expressed themselves only in the effects of warmth. So the physical body was a delicate, ethereal body of heat. All of Saturn consisted of warmth bodies like this, which laid the first foundations for present-day physical mineral human bodies. Our present bodies developed when the gaseous, liquid, and solid states of matter that later came into existence were incorporated into these warmth bodies. Among the other non-human beings perceived by supersensible consciousness, when it becomes aware of the Saturn state, there are some, for example, who have no need for a physical body. The lowest component of their makeup is an ether body. In addition, however, they have a part that is higher than any belonging to human beings. The highest member of the human being is the spirit body, but these other beings have something that is higher still. Between the ether body and the spirit body, they also have all the other components described in this book as belonging to human beings: the astral body, the I, the spirit self, and the life spirit. Saturn, like our Earth, was surrounded by an atmosphere, but instead of being a sphere of air, Saturn's atmosphere was of a spiritual character. To precisely express this inner experience that occurs in spiritual research, instead of saying, quote, Saturn is surrounded by an atmosphere, unquote, we would have to say, quote, while supersensible cognition is becoming aware of Saturn, an atmosphere that belongs to Saturn also presents itself to consciousness, unquote. Similarly, we would have to say, quote, other beings, unquote, or, quote, beings of this sort, unquote, quote, present themselves, unquote. Transforming this into the expression that something is present must be permitted, because this also takes place in the expressions we use for actual soul experience in the case of sensory perception. This is evident from the context of the discussion. However, it must be kept in mind in reading the description that follow. Saturn consisted entirely of beings, those just described and still others. There was a constant interaction between the warmth bodies on Saturn and these beings, who allowed the elements of their makeup to sink down into Saturn's physical warmth bodies. So, while there was no life in these warmth bodies themselves, the life of their surroundings was expressed in them. They could be compared to mirrors, but instead of reflecting images of the beings in question, they reflected their state of life. We would not have been able to discover anything living on Saturn itself, and yet Saturn had an enlivening effect on the surrounding celestial space, because like an echo, it radiated back the life sent down to it. Saturn seemed like one big mirror of celestial life. Certain exalted beings whose life was reflected by Saturn may be called the spirits of wisdom. Parenthesis, in Christian esotericism, they are known as curiosities or dominions. Parenthesis. Their activity on Saturn did not begin with the middle evolutionary period described above. In fact, in a certain sense, it had already come to an end by then. Before they could become conscious of how the warmth bodies of Saturn were reflecting their own life, the spirits of wisdom first had to bring these bodies to the point of being able to carry out this reflecting process. For this reason, their activity commenced shortly after the beginning of the Saturn phase of evolution, when Saturn's bodily nature still consisted of chaotic substance that would not have been capable of reflecting anything. In observing this chaotic substance, we are making use of spiritual perception to transport ourselves back to the beginning of the Saturn phase. What can be observed at this point has not yet acquired the character of heat that it will later possess. In trying to characterize it, we can only speak of a quality that can be compared to human willing. It is will, and only will, through and through. At this point, therefore, we are dealing with a state that is all soul. If we trace this element of will back to its source, we find that it originally emanated from certain exalted beings. Through stages we can only guess at, these beings had brought their evolution to the point where, at the beginning of the Saturn phase, they could pour forth will out of their own essence. After they had been doing this for some time, the activity of the above-mentioned spirits of wisdom united with this outpouring of will. Thus, this will, previously wholly without attributes, gradually acquired the ability to reflect life back into celestial space. The beings who experienced bliss in pouring forth will out of themselves at the beginning of the Saturn phase of evolution can be called spirits of will. Parenthesis, in Christian esotericism, they are called thrones. Parenthesis. After a certain stage in Saturn's evolution had been reached through this interaction between will and life, other beings present in Saturn's surroundings became active. They can be called spirits of motion, the Christian dynamis, or virtues. They have no physical body and no life body. Their lowest element is the astral body. Once the Saturn bodies had acquired the ability to reflect life, this reflected life was ready to be imbued with characteristics that had their seat in the astral bodies of the spirits of motion. As a result, it seemed as if feelings, manifestations of sensation, and other soul forces were being hurled outward from Saturn into celestial space. Saturn, as a totality, appeared to be an ensouled being, demonstrating sympathies and antipathies. However, these manifestations of soul were certainly not its own. It was only flinging back soul activities belonging to the spirits of motion. After this had been going on for some time, still other beings, which can be called the spirits of form, became active. Their lowest part was also an astral body, but it was at a different stage of evolution than that of the spirits of motion. Whereas the spirits of motion imparted only general expressions of sensation to the life Saturn was reflecting, the astral activity of the spirits of form, parenthesis, the Christian exousiae, or powers, parenthesis, was such that their expressions of sensation were flung out into space as though from individual beings. It could be said that the spirits of motion allowed Saturn as a whole to appear as an ensouled being, while the spirits of form divided this life into individual living beings, so that Saturn then appeared as a conglomerate of soul beings. To get a picture of this, imagine how a mulberry or a blackberry is made up of small individual fruits. To those with supersensible perception, Saturn at this period in its evolution was likewise made up of individual Saturn beings, which, although they did not yet possess individual lives and souls, reflected the lives and souls of the beings that lived in them. In the next order of beings to intervene in this state of Saturn, the astral body was also the lowest element, but these beings had brought the astral body to a stage of development where it functioned like a present-day human eye. Through these beings, the eye looked down upon Saturn from its surroundings and conveyed its own nature to Saturn's individual living beings. As a result, what was sent out from Saturn into space appeared similar to the activity of human personalities in our present cycle of life. The beings bringing this about may be called the spirits of personality, the Christian archai, or principalities. They granted a semblance of the character of personality to the little Saturn bodies. However, personality as such did not exist on Saturn, but only its reflection, as it were, an empty shell of personality. The spirits of personality had their real personality out in the periphery, in Saturn's surroundings. The delicate substance described earlier as heat was bestowed on the Saturn bodies through the fact that the spirits of personality allowed their essence to be reflected back by these bodies in the way that has been described. There was no inwardness in anything on Saturn, but the spirits of personality recognized the image of their own inwardness as it streamed back to them from Saturn in the form of heat. While all this was going on, the spirits of personality were at the level of present-day human beings. They were going through their human phase. If we want to take an unbiased look at this state of affairs, we must imagine that a being can be, quote-unquote, human in a form different from the form we presently possess. The spirits of personality were human on Saturn. Their lowest component was not the physical body, but the astral body with the eye. Although they had no physical or ether body, such as ours, in which to express the astral body's experiences, they not only possessed the eye, but were also aware of it, because the heat of Saturn made them conscious of it, by reflecting it back to them. They were human beings, under circumstances different from those of Earth. The events in the further course of Saturn's evolution were different in character from the previous ones. Previously, everything had been a reflection of outer life and sensation. But at this point, an inner life of a sort began. Here and there, within the Saturn world, light began to stir, flaring up and then darkening again. Flickers and glimmers of light appeared in some places, while in others lightning-like flashes appeared. Saturn's warmth bodies started to flicker and glow and eventually to shine. The fact that this stage of evolution had been reached made it possible once again for certain beings to become active. These beings can be called spirits of fire, the Christian archangeloi, or archangels. They did have astral bodies, but at that stage of their existence, they were unable to stimulate them by themselves. They would have had no feeling or sensation if they had not been able to work on the warmth bodies that had reached the Saturn stage that has just been described. Acting on these bodies gave the spirits of fire the possibility of recognizing their own existence through the influence they exerted. They could not say to themselves, "I exist," but only something like, "My surroundings permit me to exist." They did perceive, and their perceptions consisted of the activities of light on Saturn that have been described above. These are, in a certain sense, their I. This granted these beings consciousness of a very particular sort that can be described as pictorial consciousness. We can imagine it as similar in nature to human dream consciousness, but it possessed a much greater degree of vitality than our dreaming does, and we must realize that its images were no mere insubstantial dream images surging in and out, but bore an actual relationship to Saturn's stirrings of light. In this interplay between the spirits of fire and Saturn's warmth bodies, the germinal form of human sense organs were incorporated into evolution. Let me read that again. In this interplay between the spirits of fire and Saturn's warmth bodies, the germinal form of human sense organs were incorporated into evolution. We see the first glimmering, the first delicate ethereal beginning of the organs we currently use to perceive the physical world. Phantom human beings who at this point exhibit only light archetypes of sense organs are recognizable to clairvoyant perception within the Saturn world. Footnote, regarding the nature and development of human perception and the sense organs, see Rudolf Steiner, Anthroposophy of Fragment, A New Foundation for the Study of Human Nature, Anthroposophic Press, Hudson, New York, 1996. Regarding the phantom, see, for example, Rudolf Steiner, From Jesus to Christ, Rudolf Steiner Press, London, 1991, Lecture 6. Quote, the physical forces and substances laid aside at death are not the whole physical body, because its complete configuration could never derive from them alone. Something else belongs to these substances and forces, which is best called the phantom of the human being. This phantom is the form shape that, as a spiritual texture, builds up the physical substances and forces so that they fill out the form we encounter as a human being on the physical plane, unquote, page 113, end footnote. Sense organs, therefore, are the fruit of the activity of the spirits of fire. But these spirits were not the only ones involved in bringing these organs about. At the same time, other beings entered the field of Saturn. These beings were so far advanced in their evolution that they were able to use these embryonic senses to perceive the cosmic events taking place in life on Saturn. These beings may be called the spirits of love, the Christian seraphim. Without them, the spirits of fire could not have had the consciousness described above. The spirits of love looked at events on Saturn with a consciousness that enabled them to convey these images, these events, in image form to the spirits of fire. They themselves renounced any benefits, any gratification or pleasure that they might have derived from perceiving events on Saturn. They renounced all this so that the spirits of fire could have it. These events were followed by a new period in Saturn's existence. Something else was added to the stirrings of light. It may seem sheer folly to many when we speak of what then reveals itself to supersensible cognition. Saturn's interior was like surging, intermingling sensations of taste. Sweet, bitter, sour, and so on, could be observed at various points within Saturn, while outwardly all of this reverberated into celestial space as sound and was perceived as music of a sort. Once again, certain beings found it possible to become active in these processes taking place on Saturn. We will call them sons of twilight or sons of life. The Christian are angeloi or angels. They interacted with the surging forces of taste that were present in Saturn's interior. Through this, their ether body or life body became active in a way that can be described as a type of metabolism. They brought life into Saturn's interior, and processes of nutrition and elimination began to take place there. The activity of these beings brought about these processes indirectly rather than directly. This internal life made it possible for still other beings to enter, beings who can be called spirits of harmony, the Christian cherubim. They transmitted a dim type of consciousness to the sons of life. It was even dimmer and more dusk-like than our present-day dream consciousness, similar to our consciousness during dreamless sleep, which is of such a low order that we never become conscious of it at all, so to speak. Nonetheless, it is present. It is different from our day consciousness in kind as well as in degree. At present, plants also have this dreamless sleep consciousness. Although it does not convey perceptions of an outer world in the human sense, it does regulate the life processes and bring them into harmony with the processes of the outer cosmos. At the Saturn stage in question, the sons of life were not able to perceive this regulating process. But the spirits of harmony did perceive it and were therefore the actual regulators. All this life activity was played out in phantom human beings described earlier. As a result, spiritual sight perceived them as enlivened. Their life was only a semblance of life, however. It actually belonged to the sons of life, who made use of these phantom human beings, as it were, in order to express their own life. Now let's turn our attention to these phantom humans with their semblance of life. During the Saturn period described, their forms were ever changing, resembling now this figure, now that. As they continued to evolve, these forms became more defined and lasted somewhat longer as they began to be imbued with the effects of spirits that we have already mentioned with regard to the beginning of the Saturn phase of evolution, namely the spirits of will or thrones. As a result, these phantom humans themselves appeared with the simplest, dullest form of consciousness. We must imagine this consciousness as even duller than that of dreamless sleep. Under present conditions, minerals have this form of consciousness, which brings the inner being into harmony with the outer physical world. On Saturn, the spirits of will regulated this harmony. As a result, human beings appeared as reproductions of the life of Saturn itself. What Saturn was on a large scale, human beings were on a small scale. This provided the initial nucleus of something that is still only in a seminal state in present-day human beings, namely the spirit body, or Atma. Within Saturn, the dull will of these ancient human beings was evident to supersensible perception through effects that can be compared to smells. What manifested outwardly, moving out into celestial space, was somewhat similar to a personality, but instead of being directed by an internal eye, it was regulated from outside like a machine. The regulating agents were the spirits of will. If we survey the descriptions above, it becomes evident that starting from the middle stage of the Saturn phase described first, the stages of this evolutionary phase can be characterized by comparing their effects to present-day sense impressions. We said that the Saturn phase manifested first as heat, followed by stirrings of light, and then by stirrings of taste and sound. Finally, something arose that revealed itself within Saturn like sensations of smell, and on the outside like a mechanically acting human eye. What were Saturn's manifestations prior to the state of warmth? What had existed before that cannot be compared to anything accessible to outer sensory perception. Saturn's warmth state was preceded by a state that we now experience only in our inner being. If we give ourselves up to ideas that we form If we give ourselves up to ideas that we form voluntarily in our souls, without being impelled to do so by outer impressions, we have within us something that no physical senses can perceive, something that can only be perceived by higher sight. Saturn's warmth state was preceded by manifestations that exist only for those who perceive supersensibly. We can list three such states: pure soul warmth that is not outwardly perceptible, pure spiritual light that is darkness for everything outside, and finally a state of spiritual essence that is complete in itself and needs no external being in order to become conscious of itself. Pure inner warmth accompanies the appearance of the spirits of motion. Pure spiritual light, the spirits of wisdom. Pure inner essence is connected to the first outpourings of the spirits of will. With the appearance of Saturn's warmth, therefore, our evolution made the step from a purely spiritual inner life to an existence that manifested outwardly. It will be especially difficult, no doubt, for present-day consciousness to accept the statement that what we call, quote-unquote, time first appeared during Saturn's warmth stage, since preceding states were not temporal at all, but belonged to a domain that spiritual science can call, quote-unquote, duration. Therefore, it must be understood that all references in this book to temporal relationships with regard to conditions in the, quote, domain of duration, unquote, are used only as comparisons and aids to understanding. In fact, what precedes time can only be described in human language by using expressions that include the concept of time. So we must be aware that although the first, second, and third Saturn periods really did not take place, quote, one after the other, unquote, in the present meaning of the phrase, we cannot avoid describing them in succession. And in spite of their duration or simultaneity, they were dependent on each other in a way that actually can be compared to a sequence in time. Pointing to Saturn's first evolutionary states also sheds light on all further questions about where these states came from. From a purely intellectual standpoint, of course, it is entirely possible to inquire about the origin of any origin, and so on, but this won't do when we are faced with facts. An illustration is enough to make this clear. If we find tracks on a road somewhere, we can ask where they came from. The answer may be, from a wagon. We can then continue asking, where did the wagon come from, and where did it go? Again, it is possible to give an answer based on facts. We can then still ask, who is sitting in the wagon? What were that person's intentions, and what did he or she do? Eventually, however, we get to a point where the facts put an end to the questioning quite naturally. If we continue questioning after that, we are getting away from the purpose of the original question and simply go on asking questions mechanically. In instances such as the one just cited, for purposes of comparison, it is easy to tell where the facts put an end to the questioning. This is not so easy when it comes to great questions about the cosmos. If we look closely, however, we will still be able to see that all questions of where things came from must end in the Saturn states described above, because there we come to a place where beings and processes derive their justification from themselves rather than from their origins. As a result of the Saturn phase of evolution, germinal human beings evolved to a certain stage, reaching the low-grade, dull consciousness we talked about earlier. We must not imagine that it began to develop only in the last Saturn period. The spirits of will worked during all of Saturn's stages. But, to supersensible perception, the result of their activity is most conspicuous in the last period. There is no fixed dividing line between the activities and effects of the different groups of beings. When it is said that the spirits of will were active first and then the spirits of wisdom, that does not mean that they were active only at that time. They were active throughout the entire evolution of Saturn, but their activity can be observed best during the period specifically mentioned with regard to each group, when the beings in question took over the leadership, as it were. The entire Saturn phase of evolution, therefore, appears as a reworking of what emanated from the spirits of will by the spirits of wisdom movement, form, and so on. In this process, these spiritual beings were also undergoing an evolution of their own. For example, after having their life reflected back to them from Saturn, the spirits of wisdom were at a different level than they were before. The fruits of their activity enhanced their own intrinsic capabilities. As a result, when the activity was completed, something similar to human sleep set in for them. The periods when their activity was directed toward Saturn were followed by periods when they lived in other worlds, so to speak, and their activity was turned away from Saturn. Therefore, clairvoyant perception sees an ascent and a descent in the Saturn evolution described above. The ascent continued until the state of warmth had been formed, with the first stirrings of light, the ebbing had already begun. By the time phantom human beings had acquired form through the spirits of will, the spiritual beings had gradually withdrawn. The Saturn phase of evolution died away and disappeared as such, and a period of rest set in. It was as if the incipient human beings entered a state of dissolution, not one in which they disappeared, but one similar to what happens to the seed of a plant, which rests in the earth as it prepares to mature into a new plant. Similarly, germinal human beings rested in the bosom of the cosmos and awaited a new awakening. When the time came for these germinal human beings to awaken, the spiritual beings described above had acquired, under different circumstances, the capacity to work on them once more. The ether bodies of the spirits of wisdom had acquired a capacity not only for enjoying the reflection of life as they did on Saturn, but also for allowing life to stream out from themselves, endowing other beings. At this point, the spirits of motion were as far advanced as the spirits of wisdom had been on Saturn. Previously, the lowest member in their makeup had been the astral body, but then they acquired the ether body, or life body. The other spiritual beings, too, had arrived at correspondingly higher levels of evolution and could therefore work differently to evolve the germinal human beings than they could on Saturn. However, the germinal human beings had dissolved at the end of the Saturn evolutionary phase. In order for the spiritual beings, who had evolved further, to pick up where they had left off, the germinal human beings first had to briefly recapitulate what they had gone through on Saturn, parenthesis, this is visible to supersensible perception, parenthesis. Incipient human beings emerged from concealment and began to develop their own, and let me read that again, incipient human beings emerged from concealment and began to develop through their own capacity, through forces that had been implanted in them on Saturn. They emerged from the darkness as beings of will and advanced through the stages of seeming alive and seeming ensouled to the mechanical manifestation of personality they had possessed at the end of the Saturn phase. That's the end of paragraph 29. I am on page 153 of the book, the beginning of the sun description. That's the end of this section.